many celebrations converged this weekend. I don't know if you noticed that, but on Friday there was Juneteenth, June 19th, that for some people is new information. And it was Juneteenth marked the time in 1865 when the slaves in Texas found out that they were free. The Emancipation Proclamation had happened 2 years before that. And so there was, you know, that bittersweetness, that sadness mixed in with, wow, there's freedom here. In the TV program Blackish, there's an episode where they take it back to 1865. And this young man asks his father, "Father, what does it mean to be free?" And the father just kind of is frozen there. And so are the adults all around him, because they've been enslaved for so long that imagining and knowing what it would be like to be free takes a minute. And then all of a sudden, there's this joyous song and dance, and everybody's expressing what it means to be free. So it's all about that experience of liberation and that wonderful celebration. So that was Friday. Yesterday was summer solstice. We were celebrating, of course, the first day of summer and also the longest day of the year, so all about the daylight, but also what summer represents. So if you are familiar with the Wheel of Life, and there's different ones, but the one that I'm familiar with, summer, it marks the time of human development that is the child. And summer also is play, right? It's recreation, recreation or recreation, and it's also symbolized by the element of water, so another kind of form of playfulness. So that summer, that's what we marked yesterday, is coming into this era of the child and the playfulness and the light, or celebrating the light anyway. And of course, today is Father's Day, so we are celebrating fathers today. It also happens to be a new moon, which it marks new beginnings. So all of that, and I'm sure I missed some, combined in one weekend is pretty powerful. We also dedicated our labyrinth today with all of this going on. And the labyrinth is, of course, representative of the spiritual journey. So a lot of this sense of newness, this new beginning, new possibilities, the evolution that is available to us is marked throughout this weekend. So we are indeed going on an immense journey, aren't we? And this immense journey, this evolution, is particularly potent and transformative for fathers, for the masculine energy on our planet. It is a time of really looking at and transforming what that means for us, a real kind of evolution. And of course, we all have the masculine inside of us, just as we all have the feminine inside of us. So these are aspects of being as well as they are a part of outer male form and fatherhood. So it's all of that, and it's for all of us. And so as we look at this, as we begin to look at this message, let's take it back to the beginning of our young country, of our founding fathers. So, you know, our founding fathers had these beautiful ideals that were written into our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence. You might be very familiar with these words from the Declaration of Independence. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." I'm sure they meant all people. "That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Now that actually was penned by Thomas Jefferson, very famous one of our founding fathers. And interestingly, or sadly, Thomas Jefferson also owned about 600 slaves. And he fathered children with his slave mistress. And so he wrote that he hoped that the next generation would get it right on slavery. So he knew, he had an innate understanding and knowing that slavery was an evil, essentially, and it was a status quo evil that he wasn't able or willing to break in his own life, but he hoped the next generation might. And so that's interesting, because we always have a choice, right? We always have a choice as to how our ideals are spoken and our actions match and align with those. We always have the opportunity to say what our core values are, what we care most about, and then that most important piece is how we live it, right? As actions speak louder than words, as we say. Another one of our founding fathers, John Adams, never did own slaves, never believed in slavery, and was a big proponent for the abolition of slavery. So we always have an opportunity to be in alignment. So one of our founding fathers of the Christian church is Paul. You may, some know him as Saint Paul. And of course, we know all the letters from Paul to the different Christian churches in the early days, or the churches that were beginning to form really a religion in, out of Jesus' teachings that eventually was called Christianity. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, that very famous verses that we know about love, right? About love is patient, love is kind, and so on. A lot of times people don't know the verse that follows that, and I want to bring that forth today because I've always really loved this, and it's a deep verse about our evolution. And he says this, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I set aside childish ways." And then he goes on to say, "Now we see but a dim reflection as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." So he moves us through this maturation process, a spiritual maturation process, that in our immaturity that we are still not childlike but childish, right? That we're stuck kind of in a childish understanding, and that it is a matter of moving ourselves along, and then we begin to see differently. At first, we see dimly this idea of divinity, this idea of a potential in us that is greater. And then eventually, we see it face to face. Now we only know in part. Now we are only children. Now we are only in the summertime of our evolution. But then, when we get to that place of evolution, when we keep doing our work, we will come to that place where we will see fully, even as I am fully seen. What he is saying is, I will see divinity as I am seen as divine by my Creator, by my Source. I will see as God sees the divinity in me when I look in the mirror, and the divinity in all when I move about the planet. And so that's what is offered there for us, that there is potential for us, there is evolution for us, if we just keep doing the work. Paul is also the one who said, "I pray without ceasing." And so to keep doing that work, to keep doing what we are doing, to stay the course, to stay the path. There was a young man in 11th century Italy who witnessed his father murder someone over a property dispute. Now that young man was taught a lesson right then and there from his father about what is masculine. And unfortunately, that lesson was not true in the truest sense of the sacred masculine. What he learned was a lesson that so many young men and women learn, unfortunately. And there were two things in that lesson. One, this untruth that property is more valuable than human life. And two, that violence is a way to resolve conflict. This young man couldn't take it. He couldn't walk that line. He couldn't accept that that was a way to be. And so he fled. The only thing he knew to do, he fled, and then he became a monk. And eventually he became Saint Romuald, who was a major reformer of the Camaldolese order of monks. There's a painting of him. I especially love this image. I have it in my home, and I just want to share it with you here. And this is one depiction of Saint Romuald. You may not be able to see it really well, but there are tear stains running down his cheeks. And the painter says this about him: "This man becomes a loving witness, a quiet example of the depth contained in the natural expression of vulnerability and desire. He sits with raised hands in prayer at the moment when tears of joy and compassion flow." That is a picture of sacred masculinity, of that openness and that vulnerability, yet that strength, that willingness to be a vessel for God, to be one of walking the path of inner strength, inner power. And so St. Romuald holds that for us as an open heart, one who is surrendered to Spirit, one who is given over to prayer. He gives the healing through his tears of compassion and his tears of joy. He's not enslaved by aggression. He's not dominated or dominating with greed. He is far freer than that, and he's truer to Spirit in his expression. He's reclaimed what it means to be a real man, to be a whole person. St. Romuald's feast day, very interestingly, is on the same day of Juneteenth, June 19th. And for St. Romuald, for this mystic of the inner world, it is a demonstration for us of the inner work that needs to be done as well as the outer work, the inner work that frees us from that which enslaves us, those old ideas of who we're supposed to be, those old ideas of status quo that don't work for anyone, that aren't true to our ideals. That is what is being asked of us. That is the reformation, if you will, the transformation that is happening for us, that this idea of what it means to be a good person or a person who is living out the norms in our society has got something different, more beautiful, more inward in our strength to offer. And so that controlling, dominating, father knows best begins to fall away. And what comes forth instead is the kind of father who knows that their child, or whoever they might be helping or advising or holding space for, they know best. That there is an innate knowing inside of them that knows best what is real and authentic for them. And so that very loving father, that godlike father, that divine sacred masculine can hold the space for that. For that child or that individual to find in themselves what is true and what is authentic in their expression, and for that truth to come forth. Not to put upon these old ideas that are oppressing and repressing. It's time to lift that shadow. The shadow's out. So it's time to illuminate and to walk the path of illumination. So the other thing that we can do in holding space and witnessing is to know that when we do that, that it is a sacred and spiritual act. I think it feels so odd for us because we think of masculinity as action in the world, and it is that. It is action. It is movement. It can be very physical, but also can be a sort of action of inaction, a holding, a space holding of sacred spiritual space. You know, that's what our prayer chaplains do for us. It's the first step in what prayer chaplains do is to hold space. So what does that really mean to hold space? It's sort of like an open-eyed, open-hearted meditative space that we give to another to be a silent, unjudging witness, someone who just holds up what is here, however it shows up, and allows it to be, allows it to unfold very naturally. So it's much like, you could think about it as, if somebody were to have an epileptic seizure, what, you know, we're told to do, and I think this is still the conventional wisdom on this, is to move everything out of the way that could hurt that person. So you look for the sharp edges and the things that might be in the way, and you move them out, or you make a softer space, and you'd never touch the person. You just give them space to go through that seizure experience. You allow them the space to let what is present come up and move through them. But in the meantime, you're creating a safe space for that to happen. So that is very similar to the kind of holding spiritual space, the kind of holding and allowing emotions to run their course, to give people, to give each other that great gift, to give ourselves that great gift. So one of the things that, you know, we're being called to do now is to hold this space so that things can de-escalate, because there's a lot of high emotions, a lot of fear and anxiety and pushing against. Did you notice? And so to be willing to be a space holder is somebody who can help de-escalate some of that. So if we find that somebody is really revved up and we are holding that kind of calm, that kind of peace, that kind of love, then it can help somebody begin to breathe, to return to a normal rhythm of breath, to kind of find their grounding before they lash out. It can de-escalate violence from happening when we can hold that kind of space. And certainly we want to do that always, but especially in these times with so much going on in that regard. So we had an in the house queue right on time for that. That's great. So the other thing that, you know, that can happen is the need to lash out will fall away when we're holding that kind of space. And it's also what the Justice for Miles Hall movement, the local movement that has touched directly our congregation, as Edie Nelson is the grandmother of Miles Hall, who was killed by the police about a year ago in Walnut Creek. And in Miles Hall's situation, what they're pressing for, one of the things that they're pressing for through the mental health awareness is to have the kind of response where people who hold that kind of space, who are trained in being able to de-escalate by holding that kind of space, come first. So the social service providers are the first responders in those situations when somebody has mental illness and is escalated into a possibly violent episode or having a violent episode, instead of lethal force showing up first. And so it's that kind of shift that we're talking about in our society, to put forward first that divine love, that kind of space holder, that kind of inner strength and power. The power that we have to transform any situation into the kind of peaceful, powerful, effective situation that we all want to have. So divine love is always there. And in that way, in that kind of holding space, we tap it. It arises very naturally, and it is available to us then to be felt and expressed and given over into any space that can then allow people to begin to feel it and resonate with it and open up to another way, to another possibility, to harmony, to all that might come with that, the kind of understanding we spoke about last week. So we just need to do our inner work to be able to do this. So if we do our prayer work, we are able then to extend that kind of action, that kind of space holding out into the world to make the world a safer place, a better place for everyone. Then we will be able to see a little bit more face to face the kind of thing that Paul talked about and call forth that divinity in one another. So there's this really beautiful video of this man who demonstrates this perfectly for us, this young father with his toddler daughter. Let's take a look.
Afraid. I am here for you. And when you're in a hole and don't know where to turn, I am here. And when you hit that wall and think you'll never learn, I am here. I am always here for you.
That's such a beautiful, powerful image and process to behold. And we give thanks for Joel Mitchell for sharing that with us and for Lisa Snorden Phelps for her original song. I don't know about you, but I think a lot of us maybe, I can speak for myself, feel more like the child than the father right now. Could use a really good temper tantrum and somebody to hold that space. Wouldn't it be just so cathartic if every one of us could have a temper tantrum like that and be held so lovingly, to have somebody hold that kind of space for us? So when I connected with Joel to ask if he would give us permission to use the video, he had a different song on there, and he was so gracious to even offer. He said, oh yeah, no problem. And if, you know, I'm happy to edit the video, to put a different music for you, whatever it is that you want. And so he was very helpful. And so as I learned a little bit more about him, I heard more of the backstory of what came before this. And he talked about how his daughter, who's about two, I think, they had all gone on a trip, a family trip, and she had been really sick. She had had a stomach flu kind of thing. And then he said she had a little too much screen time because they were in the car for a long time. And then there was a lot of cookie baking and she had had too much sugar. And so he said there would have been, he'd been watching this build over the last 2 weeks. And so he had also happened to take really good care of himself the day before. And so he had a little alone time, or me time, if you will. And so he was in a different kind of relaxed space, although I have a feeling he shows up a father like this often. And so he said that that tantrum went on for 45 minutes. And he just knew that she needed to go to the deepest, darkest place and to be able to just let it all go. And he was willing to hold that. So about 10 minutes into the tantrum, he started the video because he wanted to just behold what experience happened there. So what a beautiful offering. That, of course, video has gone viral, as you might not be surprised to hear. And one of the things he said that really touched me was, he said, I was trying to offer the kind of patience and love that God has offered me for my entire life. And he said, I was trying to represent that the best way I could. If we all could just take that, if that could be our one takeaway, that I am trying to offer the best that I can toward the love and patience that God has offered me throughout my entire life. That I've always been held in this place of patience and love, that I have always had this place to fall back on, that I've always been loved for exactly who I am and exactly how I show up in whatever place and time, whether it's considered behaving badly or having a tantrum or whatever it may be, that there might be a space held like that of infinite love and patience. That's what it looks like to enact this kind of fatherhood we're talking about, to enact this kind of sacred masculine from within all of us, to be the strong holder of space as we evolve. So if you take that image, if we took that image and we modeled it for the world, imagine what a world we would have. If we took it and didn't just apply it to those who were deserving, but to everybody, right? In our eyes, whatever deserving might be. If we allowed ourselves to recognize that hurting people hurt, and if we could hold space for all those people, even when they behave in ways that we absolutely do not agree with. You know, what if somebody, you know, when somebody can stand on somebody's neck who can't breathe and keep it up, what kind of hatred is in their heart? What kind of hurt is there? Why would somebody do that? Our quest to understand is really important. Imagine if somebody had held Derek Chauvin in that kind of space the first time he had a tantrum. George Floyd and Derek Chauvin, their outcome may have been quite different, right? So us white folk are being called to hold a kind of space for our black brothers and sisters and our brown brothers and sisters right now, for all people of color. And not only to witness the stories, but to also step back and to listen and to let the leadership emerge. To stand up for people of color, but also to stand down from our power positions. This can be hard for some of us because we're wired to understand leadership in a certain way, and we've had experiences that have given us those leadership roles. And so it's hard for us to learn a different way. Though the leadership in our world has been carved around, in our Western world, around the idea of masculine strength. That is our, it has been for a very long time, our leadership model in the patriarchy. But there's a different kind of way that we're talking about here that is absolutely needed. It's a kind of restraining from the ego and presuming we know best and letting instead divine love lead the way. That's inner strength. That's sacred masculine in action. That's the kind of transformation and turn we are talking about. And so this young father knows that his daughter deserves the floor, that she deserves a voice, that he gives her full respect as a little child to have that voice and to have that floor, and as a young girl especially, that is really potent and powerful. And you know, how many of us are willing to employ that kind of patience? But it is being asked of us. It is being called forth in us. And especially to be able to do that when we know it's quick and easy to take control of a situation like that, to overpower and to control the child, to tell them to stop, to tell them, I'll give you something to cry about. Ever hear that one? And so it's that kind of old school way of punishing and domination and overpowering that is killing us, literally killing people. And so we are awakening to that finally. We're realizing finally, oh, that old way of being, it doesn't work. We're out of time on that one. We got to let it go. Let that house of cards fall and let ourselves move into the new extraordinary, the new way of being, the new way of acting in the world and holding for one another the truth and the authenticity that wants to come out, so that we may see face to face the divinity in all of us, the love in all of us, the will in all of us to be better. So we are both that father and that child. Are we not? Can we not find ourselves both in that scenario? And And we can find ourselves as the father and as the child, not just that one, but as a father and as a child in many different instances. As the child, what do we need most, you know, is the question. And can we find it for ourselves? Yes, we can. There are lots of spiritually mature folks around who would be glad to hold a space for you. In fact, there are people who are trained to do that, who would be glad to hold a space for you and let you have a tantrum. But if it's not a person, there's the divine presence always available to us to give us that space. Go out into nature and rant and rave and break sticks and throw stones and see how you feel then. A lot better, I guarantee it. So it's a time for movement, for dance is another way to release some of this pain, to have a good cry in the presence of somebody who can be loving and non-judgmental. That's what we're offered as the child, and some of us are very much in that space. In fact, I venture to guess many of us are in that kind of space right now. And so it's allowing what is present to be moved through so we can come to that embrace like the end. And then we can be the more mature adults. We can step into the father-mother roles of the next generation, and we can show up in this way. We can show up for somebody who allows the full emotion to happen. We can take up the mantle of the spiritual journey in a whole different way as fathers and mothers, as way showers like Jesus. And so how do we skillfully do this? How do we hold that kind of space? There's some key things, I think, that we can do. One is to invoke the divine presence, right? So if you're holding space for somebody else, you want to invoke that divine presence through a spoken prayer, through an internal knowing, through meditation time, just a calling forth of awareness of that presence is here and it's available to us now. We want to look for dangers and move those dangers out of the way as if we would if somebody were having a seizure. You know, we want to give space. We want to look for both the emotional dangers and disruptions and also the physical dangers that might be there. We want to stop talking and start listening more deeply. And to open our eyes and open our bodies in this kind of meditation, this kind of stance. I love when the father just sort of opens his arms around her and he doesn't quite embrace her yet. He just still gives her more space, and then she really sinks in and then he holds her. You know, so it's knowing how to respond to the other in this way, to that authenticity. To, of course, withhold judgment, to be a witness, a loving, silent witness, to see with the eyes of compassion, to see the divinity within. We cannot evolve fully. We cannot transform to what is available to us now if we don't step into this kind of way of being and look for ways even. We don't have to look far for ways to hold space for each other, but also, very importantly, to have the space held for ourselves. And it might take many opportunities of that, many experiences of that, to really get to the bottom of our tears, to the bottom of our grief, and to let it then be over. and we can be freed then and walk this path of freedom. So there's a, you know, if not there, we walk around with this boulder in our heart, this block in our heart, this place that stands in front of the open door of our heart, and our hearts are meant to be open doors for divine love to stream forth, open doors for peace and kindness to be available to the world. It's what I believe our world needs. It's what we need. It's what our relationships need. So what if we can offer each other that kind of grace, that kind of space? What a world. We're doing it now. I know we're all doing it in our own ways. And so let's just keep the work up. Let's hold the image of Joel Mitchell and his young daughter in our minds when we get into difficult spaces. Let's know that all are children of God, even those who are doing things that we would completely disagree with and condemn. That person has a child within them too. And that being is hurting a lot. It needs that kind of space held for them. That's when the rubber hits the road, when we can hold that kind of space for someone we don't agree with, for somebody who's really behaving badly, for somebody who's really doing something that's against our values. If we can hold it for all of us, That's when the breakthrough really happens. And so it's not just, of course, for fathers, it's for all of us to hold space for our children, to hold space for each other, to have space held for us, to allow ourselves to fully evolve into the truth of who we are, into this transformation that is just happening, just on that cusp, just beginning to awakening around our world. All of these holidays lined up on this weekend is just markers of all these important times that are showing us, that are pointing us to where we are now. And so there is a window. Let's move through it. Let's keep it open. Let's allow the truth to come through that window of our own hearts, of our own souls, of our own journey, of our own walk. Let's hold space for real evolution to happen, to the kind of evolution that allows authentic expression. Let's be those kinds of space holders and holdees of that kind of experience. So I invite you to affirm this experience with me, to stand with me in this affirmation as we speak it together. Together, I hold space for real evolution. And so it is. Amen.